It's not complicated. Call it creative. Call it art. Call it design. It's the Design Coach on Lake 96.1.
Hey, you ask me if I'm ready off air. I don't actually know the answer to that question, but good morning, everyone.
Well, it's always a different answer.
Whether I'm ready or not, the show is happening. Good morning, everyone.
The whiskey is flying. The whiskey's going to be poured.
Yes, you can. Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano. I am now also, Nancy, blessed to have two of my favorite people in studio with me today.
I know.
Kylie Peterson, which is Lifestyles with Kylie P, who is a director of lifestyle design and support for the Design Coach. So thank you for joining us this morning.
Absolutely.
And of course, the incomparable, the legend, the most interesting man maybe on the face of the planet, our in-house sommelier and grill master, Glenn Garlish.
Today I'm a Celtic warrior.
Yes.
Because it is St. Patrick's Day.
I'm enjoying this day.
I love it all day long.
So I'm going to work on painting the picture here because this is fantastic. Glenn is wearing a traditional tartan plaid kilt. An actual kilt.
I know you love plaid.
I just hope you're wearing undergarments. That's all I have to say.
I'm the one sitting across from you.
You are also wearing a Viking Irish hat. Now, I'm not quite sure that the synergy between the Viking and I think my favorite part of it is the braided locks.
Gold braids.
That are coming down the sides of his face. It's a really weird juxtaposition between a massively masculine man and gold Goldilocks, which I'm really still trying to reconcile this early in the morning. However, it is amazingly festive, and you've brought us a gift this morning.
Yes. I had to bring Irish whiskey.
Happy St. Right? Patrick's Day, everybody.
That's how I start my day on St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that's just how I start
every day. That's how I start my day. Every day.
No, special
I was whiskey.
Special occasions.
Splash of whiskey in the coffee.
Special occasions, you know, a call for a special spirit. Right. Or a special wine. And that's what, you know, that's my job as a sommelier. Yes. And for your clients, I try to transport them to another place.
And even if that means costume.
A costume, of course. Yes. I love Halloween.
Kylie just looked at
up.
Me like, don't get any ideas.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's what I do.
Kylie looks at you like that all the time.
We're going to do a beer garden theme. No, I'm just kidding. So, okay. Here's where we're going to land on today's show.
Yes.
Okay. Not only are we going to, we're going to sample a awesome Irish whiskey that you brought with you today.
Sure.
But we're going to talk a little bit about the show. Okay. This is kind of like where I kind of want to go with the entertainment portion of today's program, which is, you know, I have the two people right now who are most closely, I would say, who have the most experience creating some of these, well, experiences for our clients in a way that takes their love of their space beyond the aesthetic. It makes the home more than just usable. It makes it enjoyable, and it makes you fall in love with wanting to be there because you've created experiences. And both of you have done that, and we're about to do it again. So I want to talk a little bit about on today's show about what that evolution looks like and how we've added to our roster and our bench of lifestyle partners who are going to help us create experiences that are far beyond the design. And I also want to talk a little bit about this hospitality mentality, okay? The hospitality mentality, because both of you have been in the restaurant service business for a really long time. And I'm thinking that there's a lot of the lessons learned in that play a role into what you're doing now. And then there's an understanding with how you need to wear that hat as the ultimate host and hostess.
Mm-hmm.
And what does that conversation really look like as far as creating an experience? What you know, the way to lay out food. I mean, Glenn, you've talked about this I've been to your house for a Super Bowl party. I haven't really seen anything like it. I've seen Kylie us put together spreads, and I'm not quite sure how you do it either. Mm-hmm. And I think on today's show, giving people a glimpse of what celebration really looks like, I can't imagine a better day to do it than St. Patrick's Day.
But
I think it's an important thing for us to talk about.
But
yes ma'am.
I raise my hand. There's a lot of people in here. But also doing it so that you can enjoy the party as well.
Yes.
Yes.
Because it's so overwhelming.
Oh, yeah.
And unless Kylie is going to come and live with you, and
she,
do all of your stuff.
She's done that from time to time.
Come and live with me and do all of my stuff. Like, you got to be able to enjoy it yourself, too. I mean, that's So you're
and there's a wealth of knowledge
too,
on
right?
today's show that I think is important for us to sort of begin to mine and to begin to talk about, because it doesn't just play into where the Design Coach team is going and where this Lifestyle Partners bench is going. I mean, we are having really, really great, wonderful conversations, especially now that we're hitting spring, where mm-hmm. it's starting to sort of feel like, and Kylie has that yes. look on her face too, like, it's coming.
It's coming.
Like, we yes. know, like, entertainment season, entertaining outside, using your house inside and out, wanting to gather and come out from hibernation is starting to move to the forefront mm-hmm. of everyone's mind.
Yeah.
And right. so this show will be about the advice that you guys can bring, that you can share with our audience today mm-hmm. on how to create those experiences, but also to make it easy. I think Nancy's on to something with, it's one thing to be like the you know the ultimate host or hostess. But it can also be very daunting, and it also makes people not want to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So I think that there's an entertainment paralysis because there just seems to be like, I don't know if I want the quote unquote
right.
hassle.
And like this, we're coming into spring. We have graduations, Mother's Day.
Yes,
all these celebrations. And I'm going to tell you, I get anxiety thinking about going to a restaurant to celebrate that, because you know, if you have a party of 10 or 12, it's where am I going to sit? Mm-hmm. It's very noisy. I like to talk, tell stories.
How do you get reservations for yeah. that many sometimes?
It's yep. so chaotic.
It's not intimate.
Yes, and I want to sit by the host. I right. want to be able to get up and move around and talk to everyone, and the layout is so hard. So I always say, do this in your home, in the outdoors. Right, this is what these beautiful homes create, the space, especially outdoors. We live in the Midwest. I love my wines. I love my fine spirits. They come from other places in the world. And so what I try to do is allow you to enjoy your outdoor space and transport you to that location, right? Imagine the vineyard, hear the birds singing, smell mm-hmm. the fresh air. That's what it's all about, right?
It's the atmosphere.
So
yeah.
How do we take that stress away from that homeowner? And Kylie is amazing at coordinating. She knows who
Thank
to call,
you.
Right? You make mm-hmm. the right calls. She gives me the information that I need. And then we work almost without communicating. We just silent nods. We know what we're doing. We had a great instance this summer,
yeah,
where it was 90 plus degrees. We're going to have this big event for these guys, and we want to be outside.
Describe a little bit of that event, yeah. Kylie. Like, where did
yeah.
that begin? Like,
so it was a YPO event for one of our clients here in Lake Geneva. He wanted to have some of the group from his YPO group. He had them up at the house, and then we wanted to plan a special evening for them. It was probably one of the hottest weekends of the year. So I remember there's a picture of me like getting the house ready before them, and I'm just like covered in sweat. I literally stopped and took a picture because I was like, I have to remember
now,
this.
Nancy, so I'm just going to pause you right here, because this is one of those moments where anybody who's familiar with the show knows the arc of our company, which is this was another one of those events. I was not in town.
Mm-hmm.
I was gone, and I in the capable hands of these two, I was I think it was one of the first events that I couldn't attend, and then I was out, mm-hmm. and I remember like, how's it going, what's going on.
Okay, but
and
honestly,
meanwhile,
if you were there, what would you have done to help?
I
would have put him in the wine cellar and locked the door.
Exactly. Like,
in most instances.
We don't have we should get a lock on the wine cellar door.
In most instances, this is what happens as you graduate from entrepreneur, right, to, I would say, true business owner, to principal of a company. If you hire great people, you empower them to create the experience.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And you have faith and confidence in what they're providing. And I absolutely, and these two do. And I think, you know, really beyond Kylie's organization is the understanding of the rhythm of the client mm-hmm. and how you tailor
yes.
things. I mean, literally this week, we were having a conversation with a client on her front porch. And we were talking about, she was visiting with Katie Oglesby to possibly
yes.
do some trees. In because Katie does living orchards,
mm-hmm.
is that what she calls it? Is it
yeah.
living orchards?
She does all of
yes.
it.
Yeah,
living
so,
gardens. Living orchards,
yeah. So I
don't, everything.
Anyway, she does these orchards with these smaller trees, and she pollinates them underneath by using some sort of natural sort of surroundings around the trees. And she was just describing, you know, apple, pear, There is a peach varietal that'll grow in the Midwest. I didn't know that.
Really?
I thought that was interesting.
Yep.
And
she said
I grew
might
up picking,
take, they might not. So it's kind of like,
yeah,
maybe,
depending on seasonally,
but
there's a Midwestern pear
yes.
variety or a peach variety. Oh. I grew up in the Midwest picking cherries with my grandmother. And
right.
she would hold open her apron and she would stand below, make me climb up in the tree, and I would drop all of the low-hanging cherries
uh-huh.
into her apron.
Aww.
And then we would wash it, and we'd wash them, and then we'd sit and we'd watch the Cubs games. And
eat the
coming from a family of five, it was special for me to go to my grandmother's house, pick the cherry tree off for the house, and then just sit and just eat cherries. So
okay,
I had
I just
a love
tell
it.
You the difference in your beautiful memory of your grandmother and
yes.
then mine? Mine grew rhubarb.
Like, what a Midwest thing.
No, my grandma Sasano was, yeah. She's the one that said, sleep in later, PJ, because that's what you go, sleep in later, you'll grow longer. Now, that was not truthful. Okay,
no, clearly not.
I maxed at 5'7", okay, in the morning with my spine fully stretched. In my
morning.
Cowboy boots, I might get up to 5'9", maybe 5'10", with the lifts. But I'm letting you know, it was a fantastic experience. So the gardening thing, that when it came up, you know, Kylie knows down
yes.
to what our clients are allergic to. And I was like, cherry. Oh, I'd love cherry. And the client was like, oh, I'm allergic. And Kylie's like, you didn't know that? And I was like, this is why I have her, because there's no way, right, that as your company scales and as you try to provide the kinds of experiences that we are in this moment, there's no way you can do it without the support of a
mm-hmm.
great team and great partners. Glenn being an awesome partner. If you go right now to our lifestyle partners page on the Design Coach, if you go there and you go to that page, the page name is called In Good Company. I mean,
yep.
we're adding a chef
yes.
probably next week,
yes.
which will be fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Glenn, I think, has a workout fitness partner that he's going to try to introduce us to.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is a growing understanding of that your home is only truly your home with the experiences and the memories that you create within it. And that's where the Design Coach also wants to live, not just in the aesthetic, right? So listen, when we come back from the break, here's where I want this arc to go. I think the arc should go towards, I really want to hear how you guys, quote unquote, set the table for
mm-hmm.
great entertaining and make it easy. I think our listeners would love to hear that, especially on one of the most celebrated days in the Midwest, St. Patrick's Day. Stay with us. You're listening to the Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sasano. And in studio with me today, I've got Kylie Peterson. By the way, Kylie,
yes.
tell everybody about your Instagram. I want you to let them know where they can find you while you're doing all your fun stuff.
Yeah, it's Lifestyle with Kylie P.
Okay, so listen, you can live vicariously through our team.
You can.
In multiple ways. One of them is a page at The Newcomer.
Mm-hmm.
Which is Amber Benson, who mm-hmm. Who's our director of operations. She's the one that kind of gets into sort of more project-based, sort of photography and culture-based photography for us. That's an experience that you can share. She's also going to be documenting, which is really exciting, which is the transformation of the new building and our new headquarters that we're going to be
mm-hmm.
building in downtown Harvard. 9,200 square feet. Like, it's really going to be exciting. She's going to be writing, you know, in the front seat of that, sort of documenting that as it goes down.
Yeah.
And you're sharing stuff all the time on,
oh, yes.
on your Instagram feed
yes.
and all the stories that you share about how you do what you do, which
mm-hmm.
is kind of where I kind of want this discussion for segment two to kind of start.
Yeah.
Which is when you're planning something, and Glenn, you have a lot of experience with this, you know, both doing it on the hospitality side
mm-hmm.
In restaurants and your restaurant, and Kylie, you do as well,
mm-hmm.
but also the experience of doing it in a home.
Yes.
And what goes into, I'm going to call the pre-planning, about trying to create the experience from the beginning. What does that look like? What are the steps that you go through as a pro to kind of think about really starting the event the right way? And it starts with planning.
Mm-hmm. I think the first step for me to kind of walk through is the space. So how do we want to use the space? What, who can we hire to best accommodate the space? And are we inside? Are we outside? And then if we prefer outside, do we have a backup plan for inside? So that's usually where I go first, is kind of the space, the logistics of it all. And I just want to have my plan in place. And then next we go with, okay, who's our caterer? Who's this? And how is all that going
to
happen?
Can we talk a little bit about space? Because I think
mm-hmm.
that's a great place to start. In other words,
yeah.
what's the environment? What's
yep.
the atmosphere? In other words,
well,
the where?
Don't you think ideal is outside? right?
Yes, I mean, usually here, the ideal is outside.
Could be, it depends. Like, for instance, like, we do some pretty great interior bars, right?
Yep.
Sure. My philosophy on it would be in and out. I think the best parties
absolutely
find their way in and outside the house within the same event.
Mm-hmm.
What I like about what you're saying about space, indoor or outdoor, is that you're able to sort of think about crafting it for the event. Here's where I want people to not think about their layouts being static,
yes,
and only using the layout that you're stuck with for your day to day. If you need to rearrange the furniture to accommodate an event, sometimes I've seen that be absolutely the best way to go about doing it.
Yeah.
To not look at something and say, I don't think I can do it in here. Maybe start to reimagine the space to accommodate it. Right.
Right. I think our experience, looking at the event, the type of people we have, what they're looking for, and that served us very well. We had to kind of pivot on this event where we were going to be outside at the outside bar, but it was 90 degrees, threatening lightning storm.
Yes.
So we had that all planned outside. Then we pivoted. We went inside.
And it rained in the middle at the beginning of the event.
Well, we were serving appetizers. I had shrimp.
While Glenn was grilling.
Oh, gosh.
I had oysters. I was shucking oysters. And everyone's kind of coming around me, all these guys. And I had planned to do a white wine with it. And they're like, no, let's have some tequila. Huh, okay, great. Well, I pulled out the tequila bottles. Meanwhile, I'm thinking in my head, I've got to grill lamb chops, salmon, seared tuna, and vegetables on the grill, which I have never used. And I asked Kylie about the grill, and she's like, oh, it's kind of tough to start. So as I got wrapped up the appetizer,
yes,
I went down there to this $33,000 grill.
And I have absolutely no experience with grills, so I was really not the right person to ask, but we figured it out.
We figured it out, and with lightning was happening above me.
Yes, it was.
But I cooked all these items I just mentioned, hustled them up three flights,
yep,
plated them, served them, and the guys absolutely loved it. And, you know, my sourcing, they love to hear the stories. The lamb chops came from Italy.
Yeah, how do you go about selecting sort of the food, you know, beyond the space? And you're like, okay, I'm going to have it here. I'm going to have it at this time with this amount of guests.
I mean,
like, how do you go into, like, picking the food and the wine?
That's my true sommelier niche, I feel. You know, I'm not that guy that's going to show up in the suit and tie and tell you all these intimidating descriptors about a wine. As I said, I want to transport you to that place. And when it comes to food, I'm kind of a foodie in that I like to go to the best source that I can find.
Mm-hmm.
And through my years of working in Chicago, I know where to get my lamb chops. I go to Little Italy.
Okay, but share a little bit about, tell the audience where you've worked. They'll be familiar with it.
A Chicago Chop House back in the heyday when there was smoking and cigars and the piano bar. And it was all men. It was all conventioneers. That's where I learned my ability to entertain, actually, and get their attention and direct them so that they had a great time.
But that was inherent in the experience that the restaurant wanted to create.
Right.
And we don't necessarily think about doing that in our own homes. We think about the food we're going to serve. We think about the place we're going to have it. We think about how many people are coming. But we don't think about creating the experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kylie, is there something that you can point to this summer where you did a setup or you created an experience for a particular client and you have a couple to choose from?
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
Describe for us the process that you go through to create the experience that goes beyond some of the food and some of the when and where.
Yeah, I think probably my biggest project this last summer, one of our clients had family in town for a little over a week and she kind of decided last minute she didn't want to do any cooking. I was like, all right, we're going to come up with some different catering options for you. And since we were so crunched for time, I honestly picked their entire menu for them for that whole week. So I was just going to like, here's your breakfast, lunch, and dinner for the next week and whatever odd days. And it was a really fun exercise because, again, I knew what they were allergic to / couldn't have and what they really liked. And I just kind of went off of that. And they absolutely loved it.
Yeah. So it was it's about caring.
Yeah.
Like, it's about really being inquisitive and understanding what that experience may mean to them. And also not just what to add, but also what not to add.
Yes.
See, editing and curating is a really big thing in the experience. Sometimes too much is too much, right? And sometimes too little isn't enough. So I think that's interesting to hear you talk about. Sometimes you just have to do it.
Yeah.
And you just have to provide it.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think the client in that instance was extremely.
Oh gosh, yeah. I think that was my favorite part of that whole experience was while I was, so with some of the food we had dropped off, it didn't come cooked. So it was all prepped. I just put it in the oven for them and then would pull it out when it was ready and just say, hey, dinner's ready. And then usually that's when I would head out for the night. And I just remember while it was cooking one day, I was inside and I was just looking out kind of over the pool. Everyone was in the pool, their entire family. They were having a great time and like they were laughing about something. And that wouldn't have been possible if I hadn't been able to get that catering for them. They would have been stuck in the kitchen or stuck behind the grill or doing something like that.
And then people feel obligated to help clean.
Absolutely.
People feel obligated to help serve. And then that breaks the party, yep. Right?
And not everybody is your family. Where you get together on purpose and make things and clean things up and prep and do all of that.
No, but the same thing happens to me and Julie when we do ravioli or Thanksgiving. Julie and I are the ones doing the cooking,
mm-hmm.
and we do hear the laughter and kind of want to be a part of it.
Right.
Right. So I think there is something to, you know, the host and hostess feeling like that can be a lonely place.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think sometimes the catering aspect of it, right, and the food prep is important. I think you have to figure out whether or not it's you or it's partly you and mm-hmm. maybe mostly somebody else,
yeah.
right? To make your lives maybe just a little bit easier.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, if you're someone who loves to cook, I wouldn't take that away from you at all. We'd just center the party in the kitchen. So it really is up to you and what you love to do and what you want to do in your home.
Mm-hmm.
So whether you love food but hate having to bartend, then you hire a bartender. Yeah, and right. So it just really each event that you host in your home is custom to what you want and what you want to offer for that day.
Glenn, when you go about thinking about the pairings, because listen, you've traveled. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many countries do you think you've been to? Do you know?
35, 40, somewhere around there.
Wow. Okay, where were you last?
Guatemala.
And how was that?
It was my fourth time in 35 years. So I've
You're
seen
the only
over,
guy. You're the only guy non-military that I've known who's been to Guatemala four times, like by choice.
Crazy, right?
It's awesome.
And you know, it was really neat. I was there with my wife, Rupal. It was her first time. And at 10 to midnight, we experienced an earthquake. Oh, and it was her first time. And it woke me up. And I said, Rupal, it's an earthquake right now. And really, if you think about it, it's kind of like how I work with wine and all this food. It's all your sensors are rattled, right? Your kind of equilibrium is thrown off.
Yeah.
Your hearing, your brain is trying to process what is happening.
Yeah.
Right. And when I talk to people about wine, I'm trying to create their imagination, take them again to another place, use their senses, their smell. Their taste, their touch.
So all of this, I mean, talk about the importance of travel with your understanding of how to create the experience. Because you know how much, Nancy, I've talked about the importance of travel for me as a visual reset. I mean, when I think about travel, and I listen, when you're in the Midwest, you can see the same stuff over and over.
Mm-hmm.
And I go to these other cities, and you just get a different sensory overload. And it tends to calibrate me and reset me and excite me. And I always come back with a new vision and a new understanding. I can only imagine that the same is
right.
true for you.
It's authentic food. You know, it's artisanal craft. You know,
describe the food in Guatemala
love,
for us.
Yeah, well, I love street food, right? So I'm always a big street food guy. And a lot of times I'm at a table and I call it, you know, in the States we would call it the chef's table, right? Where you're sitting right in the kitchen.
Yeah.
So when I'm in a street food location, I'm like, hey, I'm at the street, you know, I'm at the chef's table location right next to the chef while everybody's kind of rushing up to try to get their food. And that is the place you want to be.
Can you describe one of the meals that you had in Guatemala that you're like, this is awesome?
I mean, the meat, the enchiladas, the soft tortillas made right in front of you. I mean, that's
And everything
and
is
the
now.
Flavor, yes, everything. I mean, there's nothing like papaya and all these fruits that come right from the farm. You know?
You can't describe other countries to people who have never been out of the United States. You can't. You know,
it's hard.
You know, my favorite place is Edinburgh, Scotland.
Sure.
If I had to move out of the United States, that's where I wish she's right.
Did it.
1 minute. I would move to Scotland 100%. You can't describe how people still live in houses with thatched roofs, and you know that things are thousands of years old, because nothing like United States compared to all of this stuff is a fetus.
Right.
And you can, and so it's so hard, and that's like how you do it. Clearly takes people there as best as you can without actually being there.
Well, I like, listen, when we come back for the break, I want to talk about the transportation. I want to talk about how you use your experiences and what you bring to the table, the both of you, to sort of take the event to the next level with the understanding of service and the experience that you create through your experiences. Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. Good morning, everyone. You're listening to The Design Coach. Welcome back right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano. And we're in studio with, I just want to call you Kylie P.
You should.
Can I just do that?
Kylie P. from TDC.
Kylie
we're
P.
We're going with it. We are going with it.
It just sort of rolls right off the tongue, right? And Glenn Garlish, our in-house sommelier and our all things experience creator. I think that's safe to say. But, it is.
Whoa.
The red breast. So what are you about to pour here, Glenn?
This is the red breast 12-year-old Irish whiskey. It is cask strength.
Got it. What's the proof on that?
58% proof. So 116 Excellent. Alcohol.
Okay.
And what I love about this, you know.
Wow, what that kind of color.
I know we're in the radio booth, right? So again, we have to use our imagination. And just look at this. This has an incredible amber orange color to it. Stunning.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
And that's just part of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is the color. I mean, this is how our brain works. Our sight takes in the information, the light, we start processing, we start thinking in our head, will we like this? We start conjuring flavors without even smelling it.
Right.
And then we bring it to our nose and wow. I mean, all this apricot, dried fruit.
Caramel.
And even though this is 58% alcohol by volume, it's not that strong. You're getting wimpy on me, okay? It's not that strong.
Okay, hold on. This is a single malt.
I'm loving this.
Yes.
Right?
And can this be for a beginner? Yes, because I would temper it down.
Oh, it's got butterscotch.
Yeah, I could temper
it
down.
The butterscotch.
Yeah, the butterscotch is so huge on this. You'll love the butterscotch notes on
this. We're waiting till segment three.
No,
he goes,
no,
I'm taking a sip.
We're
okay,
very
that is
aggressive.
Delicious.
It is delicious, isn't it? And that's how you want
to. And it's not that strong.
No, it doesn't knock you
and
down.
The butterscotch hits you later.
It does. I love the butterscotch flavor.
Kylie, you've got to take a sip.
And you know what I always think, like, what would I pair this with? I wait for Phil. Well, Glenn, what are you going to pair this with? You know what I'm going to have with this?
Yeah, what would you pair this with? Nothing.
I'm going to have
nothing.
My sourdough focaccia.
Oh, I'm so hungry right now.
Roasted red pepper on top.
I would have never thought of that.
Olive oil, but
I get
spice,
that.
A little cheese.
No, because I get the sour taste of the bread.
The biscuit. You know, this is made with barley, unmalted and malted barley, which gives it a creamy, soft, silky texture.
Yeah.
Right? That biscuit kind of notes.
Yeah,
so
you could almost do the focaccia in like almost like a caramel syrupy, salty dip. Like, wow.
Roasted red cherry peppers on there. Yeah. So that's what I would have with it. And, you know, have your cigar. I like my little Kentucky cheroot cigar.
Mm-hmm.
I'm outside. The red breast robin. You know, I'm hearing birds are chirping. And I feel like I'm in Ireland.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, we got it. You know what's great about the Midwest? We have four seasons.
We do.
So, you know, those California people, you can have all that sunshine and your earthquakes and everything else. But we've got the seasons. You know, we can smell the spring air.
Yeah. Corn and not
sounds.
Corn.
We're farmers.
Corn and potatoes.
You know, corn and soybean and no corn and no
we're
soybean.
We're sons and daughter of farmers.
I know, right?
You know, it's the earth. So let's enjoy it.
Yeah, so we're talking on today's show about creating the experience, and that was a great way to start this segment because that's exactly the kind of experiences that at the Design Coach we're looking to help take our events and the use of the homes that we design to the next level. And we're looking to create that experience, the exact one that sort of Glenn did just from a glass of whiskey. I mean, if you can do it from that, you can do it for an entire event. I want to talk about that. I want to talk about how you use your experience, where you've been, how you take experiences next level. I mean, mm-hmm. Kylie, your event experience has been both hospitality and wedding.
Yep.
And event driven, mm-hmm. right? Talk a little bit about when you think, do you know when an event, like, can you sense after setup, like, this is going to be a good one? Like, do you get that sense? Like, or are you an optimist that you think all of them are going to be good? Or do you get that sense?
I think regardless, I try to be optimistic, but yeah, you know, maybe not so much like, oh my gosh, this event is going to, you know, stink, but it's more like,
it's going to tank.
Not necessarily. It's more like, okay, this one's going to be a little bit more difficult than
and
most.
And what do you do to elevate that? Like, if you're sensing I need to take it next level, like what in your brain, you know, what does that sort of empower you, or what impulse does that trigger in you?
Definitely a communication increase. So with all of my fellow event personnel, so whether Glenn's there or whether I have caterer there, it just kind of increased communication there. Like, hey guys, this is what's happening. This is how we're going to need to step up.
That's energy level.
Yes.
Okay.
So then that's kind of, I've noticed this with events and weddings, is that as the coordinator, as that person in charge, I am responsible for the energy level of the event.
Wow.
on the working side. So,
they're solely responsible at a restaurant or an event for creating the experience.
Very true.
If you have a server that comes to your table who's low energy,
yeah,
that has an immediate impact on your level.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And their knowledge of the menu. I always love the servers who are just, you know, we just had this experience when we were in Naples.
We did. We had an amazing server.
I mean, we had Joe, our server at the Naples Yacht Club. I mean, dare we say she created the experience on our behalf by just being unbelievably knowledgeable mm-hmm. and unbelievably engaging. Like mm-hmm. at the end of dinner, she said, I'm going to ask you guys a question at the end of dinner and I want you to answer me honestly. And I'm not going to share the question with you now. She kind of made us wait and sort of built up that little sense of anticipation where we're like, where's that going?
Yeah.
So it was a little bit of curiosity and like, why is the server asking us something like that? That's cool and different. And at the end, she asked us if we had one piece of advice for her, mm-hmm. like what would that be? And she kind of went around the table and everyone kind of gave their thing. And then that created like a great full circle end of the meal kind of event. Like it was almost like after we all gave our answers, it was like, okay, that was amazing.
Yeah.
If the popover didn't, you know, sort of rue the day, and if the fish and the steak wasn't absolutely amazing,
wasn't good enough,
like that absolutely made it. So to your point, Kylie, about the staff and the people responsible for putting mm-hmm. on the event, that energy level, how do you go about instilling that in them? Like, is it just making them aware, or is it something more?
I think the first step is who you're hiring. So as far as weddings go, we did have, a preferred vendor list. We have our vendors we like to work with.
So you know who's going to bring it.
Exactly. And
consistently.
Absolutely. There's a lot of, I don't know, I absolutely love weddings, but there can be a lot of catty back and forth, and I am not about that. So it's like we're here for our clients, we're putting on this great event. Here's what you need to do, and here's how we're gonna get there. So even if you don't necessarily like me, this is how we're doing this, and this is how it's gonna happen. And I found that translates very well because that kind of establishes respect.
And you won't say this, but I'll say this about you.
Yeah.
You do have an awesome transmission. And Glenn, I'm going to get to you in a minute because your ability to go showman is just on a moment's notice.
Yes.
But you have this unique balance of all business. Mm-hmm. And by the way, with a heart and super smile.
Yes.
Like you have a way to sort of balance that. Like I'm in control here. Mm-hmm. You need to know that. And by the way, aren't we all happy and smiling?
Yes.
Like, is that just innate?
I had to learn that.
Okay.
From, I feel like weddings was kind of a huge teacher for me in that, because I was younger and I wasn't married at the time that I was doing them. So a lot of people were looking at me like, well, you don't know what you're doing. So
yeah,
I feel like I kind
you're
of
like,
had
you're
to.
You're like 12. Yeah.
Right. That's how I was looked at. So I kind of had to be bossy, but also still kind of be myself. And so
that's how it
really does.
When you started with us as a coordinator, right?
Yes.
It was an all new environment. I will tell you that now in your new role as director of this lifestyle design, you are really finding your balance point
mm-hmm.
between, and I hear it on the phone with clients, like you manage them. You do. Mm-hmm. And you manage them with a heart.
Oh, yeah.
You manage them that way. Glenn, on your side, when we pivot to the experience where you feel low energy, that for you is almost like a call to action. Am I wrong?
I got to react to whatever the situation is, right? I love to know about people's backgrounds and, you know, what those emotional triggers are.
Yeah.
And I guess maybe it's my travels, all of my experiences, that it's just so instantaneous. It only takes a second. And I know I could go into a story and just engage them and story tell. And then I know where I'm going. I lead it into maybe a wine. And, you know, I love wines that have a rich heritage, right? Again, that they respect the land and the workers. Can I show this?
Yeah, sure. Please talk about this. Yeah, talk about it.
This is a wine, St. Supri Vineyards, and it's one I've served so many years in Chicago. And it's just a really easy price point.
About what?
Per bottle, $40 in a store. You know,
for that size bottle?
No.
Oh,
yeah. No, sorry.
It is longer than my arm.
Because Phil knows I love football.
It may be taller than me.
I love football. I love my Bears. I know your guys, Packers up here.
Oh, no, I'm a Bears fan too.
I want my defensive line to have names like Big Bottles of Wine. Okay, I want their nicknames to be
okay, that's good.
Double Magnum. Jerobomb. Salzmanar.
Yeah, like, you know, I want Doug Double Magnum.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Nagurski, so
when
right?
I'm having
Bronco.
When I'm going to an event or I'm hosting an event and I'm going to have 10 people, 20 people, somewhere in that range, you know, I don't want single bottles of wine, 750 milliliters. I want double magnums, okay, 3 liters. And here's the issue, though. A lot of people are really intimidated by them.
Mm-hmm. And what is this
bottles of wine.
Okay, but where's this from?
St. Supri is from Napa Valley.
Okay.
Okay, and that's a great teaching point. Okay, again, it's not a super expensive wine. This is 170.
But I think that's the way a lot of most people enjoy wine. Mm. They just want to enjoy it for the taste.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, a lot of people are not necessarily collectors, but they know what they like.
I find that cocktails are the same. And that's what this wine is. And what the great teaching point about it. And I've had, you know, wine classes with your group, and I talked a little bit about it. Estate-grown grapes, estate-bottled, which means they own their vineyards. They control the process. You could appreciate that, right? And if you go to their website...
And you can control the quality.
Exactly. And you go to their website, you see the whole team from the CEO, winemaker, obviously, down to the guys working in the vineyard. Mm-hmm. They have profiles on these guys.
They're all from
Mexico. They've been working there 20 years.
But I can only imagine that after... listen, I know how close we are at the Design Coach, and I know how close we are with our lifestyle partners.
Mm-hmm. It's a family.
After a while, right? Yeah, you're right. It becomes about family. And the best way to host an event, I think, and which is what I think we do really well when we try to take our service to the next level with Kylie, with you, or with our lifestyle partners, is we want to treat you like family.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to create an event that means something to you. Yeah. And that will have a lasting impression. When we come back from the break, we're going to dig into that and so much more as we finish out this St. Paddy's Day celebratory How to Entertain show right here on the Design Coach on Lake 96.1. Stay tuned. Welcome back. You're listening to the Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano. I've got...
In my Celtic skirt.
And
yes.
Glenn Garlish.
I love this skirt. I'm actually really enjoying it. The skirts are great.
Maybe skirts and dresses.
It shows off my calves.
It does.
In my heritage, the Garlish lineage, we have amazing calves. So I love this for showing off my calves.
And I've got our lifestyle director of lifestyle support here. I've got Kylie P from TDC.
Oh, that's me.
Which is exactly, I couldn't imagine. Listen, thank you guys so much for joining me this morning. We've been talking a lot about, you know, a little bit of the psychology and a little bit of the logistics behind great entertaining. And this being St. Patrick's Day, everybody, especially in Chicago and in parts of the Midwest, this may be, the spring party day.
Yes.
Right. Of
may or may not still be a little hungover from yesterday.
Yeah, no doubt. Right. Or maybe it's Sunday morning. You're just getting started.
Maybe.
So, right. Like we are with, what is this?
Glenn? Red Breast.
The Red Breast.
So cask strength whiskey. Delicious, isn't it?
It's actually really, really good. I will say this. I want to ask both of you a question and just answer it the best way that you can. When you're in the middle of an event and it gets chaotic, like in other words, like, you know, obviously the beginning when people come, there's an energy that's really cool. I always love sort of like the beginning of, not when the first few people arrive, but like when it starts to, when the energy you can tell starts to really grow. I always like at the moment, and I think this is a lost art. I like when most of the guests have arrived, I like to stop the moment and then thank them all for coming, or like give them some context for the evening sometimes versus them just showing up, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's a little bit of a lost art. Like, you'll see it sometimes when you watch like old time movies, or you'll watch like, you know, shows that are throwback to period, where, you know, the all the guests would be in the drawing room, right? And the host and hostess would come down from the stairs.
Yes.
Right.
And then stop at the bottom of the stairs, maybe one step up so everyone could get a vantage point, and then welcome them to the evening. Like, I feel like there's a little bit of show that's been lost in entertaining, especially since in the Midwest, sometimes survival trumps fancy, okay? Like, sometimes that's just kind of what happens, okay? And I think that can get lost when it gets chaotic. How do you keep the event, when it gets chaotic, still feeling like it's pulled together? Like, in each of your experiences, like, is there a trick or something that you can share with our audience when it's like, when it gets real chaotic, what is your go-to strategy for still making it go as planned?
So that's my favorite part of the event, honestly. That is where my problem-solving self just is so happy. And I get to kind of lock in on whatever the problem is, figure out how to solve it, and then move on with the event. A lot of people, and I don't know how I picked this up, but I usually, probably from weddings, again, do not let the bride see me sweat at all. Like, that was just kind of hammered in me from the get-go as far as that goes. So I'm usually, if I'm freaking out on the inside, nobody really knows except for maybe one or two people, or if I just casually mention it, like, yeah, I'm freaking out a little bit on the inside. But I feel like that also plays a huge role in it, because while I may be freaking out on the inside, there's another part of me that's like completely calm. So I'm able to kind of tap into that and be like, okay, this happened, this is how we're going to solve it, and kind of go from there.
Well, and a lot of times in those moments, people are looking for someone to do just that.
Absolutely.
And in a void, sometimes you'll get the wrong person stepping up.
Yes.
You know, like, you'll get the mother of the bride stepping up, or you'll get the mother of the groom stepping up.
Which is why I always have a plan, no matter what. There's always got to be a plan in the back pocket, because otherwise that person will come in and will not turn out the way the bride or the groom wanted.
100% or our host. Everything. Right.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah.
And sometimes maybe on purpose. So what's interesting is you're prepared for that. So I think so it's really, you just rely on your problem solving in the moment. You rely on your poise to be able to carry the
day. I do everything I can ahead of time to
avoid that,
obviously. But when it does happen, and it will, I do have a whole pocket full of tricks.
You know, there's also a thing about, is it, you know, you are standing there looking at it like, this really is not that big of a deal.
Yes, so, sometimes, yes.
You know, and so.
It's way easier to fix problems when they're not your own.
Exactly. But you have to look at them and acknowledge their panic, right?
Oh, absolutely.
But knowing
they
in
have
the back,
heard. Yep.
Right. And knowing in the background, like, okay, really, come on. Like, we did a cruise where we had our old morning show people come in, and you know how OCD I am about stuff, right?
Sure.
Like, I am the queen of everything has to match, the colors, the everything. So we did a boat cruise with the cruise line, and the cake, and like, I ordered M&Ms in the colors of our logo.
Look at
right?
you.
Like, everything had to be, this was like our 10-year anniversary.
Okay.
And one of the morning show hosts got up and made a speech and said, I want you to know that if one of you falls overboard off of this boat, it would be less traumatic for Nancy than if the M&Ms didn't match the logo, right? Like, and it was 100% true. Like, I'm sorry you fell overboard, but look how great
this
looks.
But look how pretty.
Right. Well, but I think Glenn, listen, as you go into these environments where sometimes your events that you're doing, like the one that you did, well, you did two of them, one with me, one with Kylie, these events go for 3 hours.
Right.
And they're actually smaller group. They're not maybe quite as big as weddings. Like,
right.
You know, what is, you know, listen, Kylie, I love the fact that we have clients who love to karaoke.
Oh,
because
yes.
That is an easy pivot when they're like literally like, you know, they're sufficiently libationed Okay, let's just call it that way.
I was literally working on that yesterday for them.
Yep, and getting it preloaded with songs mm-hmm. so that they have a great seamless experience. That's actually one of the traditions at one of our clients' homes. But Glenn, in your instance, sometimes these events are only like 10 people. And, you know, you don't want to get to a point where you exhaust the experience within the first hour. So when you see it lulling, like, what are the tricks that you rely on to sort of keep the energy level up and kind of reinvigorate the party?
Storytelling. You know, I just, whatever it is, I engage with people through eye contact, right? I've never felt like intimidated where with somebody. I look at them and I just kind of light them up with the story. I try to, again, identify something that we have in common. Like, for instance, with this party, we had a vegetarian. He was a young man from parents from India. So my wife being from India, I appreciated that he was a vegetarian. So ahead of time, I made mm-hmm. a skewers of vegetables, paneer cheese that I also barbecued. I wanted him to feel recognized. You know, just because he's not having lamb chops like the other guys, I want him to have something off the grill too, you know? And he was so kind. He was like, apologize. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm the vegetarian guy. I said, no. I go, I got you covered, my guy.
That
I got
and
you covered.
Who knows yeah. what the
how great is that
lamb chop
like
guys are going to discover.
Yeah, that you've been right. considered. Right.
And I like gave him an opportunity to introduce some of the foods that he loves to these guys that are eating. And they try it and they're like, this is amazing. That's what I love. See, I like mm-hmm. people to enjoy new experiences, right? And you know what it is? It's that moment. And I think it was captured. My daughter was taking some pictures that night.
Yes.
She captured it where that young man from Indian descent kind of gave me a fist bump. He was like, that was a cool moment. He just like came up, we did a little fist bump, and he knew that I was thinking of him, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the design coach, right?
That's what you try to do.
Our job is to get to know the client and just ask the extra question, you know, find out about the dynamics. And, you know, I have to find out what people like to drink and wine. I can't just shove my tastes down their throat. Yeah. I have to figure out a way to introduce it to them.
Yeah.
To get their brain to soft, it's a soft sell, right? Just it's their brain to process the information I'm giving it to them.
Well, and here's what's interesting, especially when it comes to certain things. Fine cuisine, fine yes. wine can be intimidating.
Right.
As can art, interior design, right? It can be a little bit of a foreign land to people, especially if they've never really experienced those things before. I think one of the things that I love about both of you, and I think what we're trying to do with the Design Coach, is we're trying to give elite experiences mm-hmm. without an elite attitude. Yes. Like there's an approachability to what we do and the way we do it that I think is really, really important. And you guys definitely embody that. And I think that disarms people and it makes them more vulnerable and it makes them more open.
Yes.
And the more open they are, the more willing they are to try a new experience mm-hmm. and not be so guarded. I that's why some of these, like the obligatory party, whether it's holiday or birthday celebration or whatever it is, always bothered me that it was the same footprint. Like, it should be different. You know, try a theme. Try doing something out of the ordinary, right?
Yes.
Than just having people over. But if you don't take the extra step to create the experience at the planning stage, it's hard to then sort of gin that up, right, during.
Well, and a lot of times it's super helpful to have an outside view on it too. So like if I were to create my own party, I feel like even I'd get stuck. I'd call some of my planner friends and be like, hey, this is what I'm looking at. Can you get me unstuck? And they're always like, oh, yeah, try this. Mm-hmm. So it's always super helpful to have someone else's view while you're trying to prepare for an event, too. So whether it's you hire a catering or you hire someone to just design your event, it honestly, as long as you just get someone else's eyes, that even elevates so much.
Listen, if you don't think that life is one big collaborative exercise, right, you're kidding yourself, right? So I think where we're at is we're trying to create this collaborative team mm-hmm. that understands how to work with one another, but all work with one another towards the same aim.
Absolutely.
How to make the event authentic, how to make it personal, and how to make it memorable.
Exactly. Memorable being the key.
I had the unique experience of getting to watch Glenn put on an event. So that was really cool because I've never really experienced that.
You were just there facilitating.
Yes,
right?
While trying to figure out the karaoke situation. But I'm always listening. So it was really neat because they all loved it. I mean, you can picture these. They're all, I don't know, executives and guys that are used to suits and stuff all day. And they're in their Hawaiian shirts and shorts up in a bar that Philip created. And they're just lounging and talking and having fun. And there was one point in all the craziness where I could sense a lot of them were like, oh, no, what's going to happen? And then Glenn just came up and started talking and they were like, oh, OK, we're good. Like, it's fine. So it was really, really cool to see, and a memory that I'm sure they will remember for a very long time.
And I think what's also really scary is we're going to get really, like, if we really think good we're at good it. Now, we're gonna get, every event, we're kind of like, we always want to go a little extra.
Oh, yeah.
I think we're turning into, again, team extra, which is sort of like,
always.
This just isn't, you know, the bar was here. Now what's the bar? And it doesn't mean bigger, more expensive. I just think it means more substantial. More authentic and more memorable, mm-hmm. right? And if Glenn does need to wear, you know,
right.
the kilt.
Don't be surprised if I show up in a kilt.
I absolutely will not be. So listen, if you want to know more about us, here's what I'm going to encourage you to do. I'm going to encourage you to go to thedesigncoach.com. Go to the In Good Company page where you can see all of the lifestyle partners, including myself, who does mixology, and including Kylie P from TDC.
Yeah.
And Glenn and Katie and Sonia. And we're loading... Chef Rabicki will be on the site soon,
yes.
who's, you know, going to introduce us to a whole, and he's another one of those kind of cut from the same cloth, mm-hmm. totally authentic, trying to make fine cuisine approachable. I'm so excited about where we're going, and I can't encourage people enough. If you want to know more about us, go to the website and connect with all of these great people. I believe that the profiles are connected to Instagram, in some cases, or our website, but go check it out and enjoy your St. Patrick's Day celebration today. Be safe, and thank you for listening. You've been listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. You've been coached.